Today's shiur is Masecht Yuma Daf Ayin Ches. We will begin on Daf Ayin Zayin Amar Beis, four lines from the bottom. Amra Pinchas Mishum Rav Huna Tzufra. Yesterday we spoke about that stream that leaves the Beis Hamikdash, and the Gemara picks up speaking about that. Mayin Hayotzen Beis Kodesh HaKodeshim, the stream that leaves the Kodesh HaKodeshim. At the beginning, it's as narrow as the antenna on the head of a grasshopper. Once it reaches the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, it gets a little wider. We know in a weaving machine, in a loom, there's a vertical and a horizontal thread. So first, it's as wide as the horizontal thread, which is narrower. Kim shigil ulam, once it reaches the ulam, it's already a little thicker. Naska chot shal erif. Kim shigil pesach azara, once it gets to the entrance of the azara, naska pi kach cotton, it gets as wide as the opening of a flask. Vahayim the tnan, and that's actually what we learned about in a Mishnah, in Masech the Midas. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, mayim mefachin, speaks about water mefachin, what does that mean? Asidim liyos yoitz metachas miften habayis will leave the entrance of the azara. That's this water that the Gemara is referring to. Mikan ve'eloch, afterwards, ha'imizgabe ve'oyle, like we learned in the previous shiur, the water actually gets very strong and continues going, ach megia lepesach beis David, until it reaches the home of David HaMelech. Kimin shemegia lepesach beis David, once it reaches the home of David HaMelech, it becomes a powerful current which is used as a mikvah, in which zovim, zovis, nidos, v'yodos, all the women who require tefillah in a mikvah use it as a mikvah. It will be the opening at the home of David HaMelech, and for the people in Yerushalayim will use it as a mikvah, l'chatus l'nid, or whoever needs a mikvah. Om Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, since we see that the water was so high, mikan remz l'nida, a mikvah that a nida needs to use, shetrich leish v'tzavar b'mayim, it has to reach her neck. However, less hilchus kavasei. So let's discuss this Gemara for a moment. First of all, the Mishfarshim explain what's this concept of that the water trickles out and gets wider and wider. So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat that I saw is that the Gemara is teaching us that when somebody wants to do tshuva, when somebody wants to do the right thing, you can't jump from a person who's doing averis, all of a sudden you're a person doing mitzvahs. You have to take it gradual. I heard twice from the Klausenberg Rebbe that if a person wants to do tshuva, he should do tshuva 5 minutes at a time. 5 minutes you could do, for 5 minutes a person could do tshuva. If a person is going to say, I'm just going to totally change overnight, that's impossible. And that's what the Gemara is teaching us. You do a little at a time. That's one pshat. Another pshat I saw is that the Gemara is teaching us the importance of Malchus Beis David. Where does Malchus Beis David Kedusha emanate from? From the Beis HaMikdash. Malchus Beis David, David Melch Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim, because his Kedusha emanates from the Beis HaMikdash. Another pshat that I saw from Chaskel Abramsky, he says that the Gemara is teaching us that Kedusha and Gashmius don't go together. So in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is the highest level of Kedusha, there's very little water. Water represents Gashmius. Everybody needs water to survive. The further we remove ourselves from the Beis HaMikdash, the more we need Gashmius. The closer we are to Kedusha, the less Gashmius we need. And the Ben Yoyada explains, the Gemara here is referring to five different levels as the water gets wider, to represent the five different aspects to learning. Pshat, Drush, Remez, Soid, and Pilpul. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yosef says, from here we know how deep a mikveh should be. What does Rabbi Yosef mean? So most Mefarshim say that according to Rabbi Yosef, the depth of a mikveh is supposed to be that when a person is standing in the mikveh, the water has to go up to his neck. Why does it have to be so high? Because we know that a person, when he goes into the mikveh, has to immerse themselves. And there's a concern that when immersing, if you have to really bend down and crouch down, you'll cover all parts of the body. The water won't be able to get there. And that's why he held the water has to be up to the neck. But the Gemara says, for less hilchas kavasei, we don't pask in that way. La locha, the mikveh should be a zeris above a person's waist. A zeris is about an amo or half amo, foot or 2 feet above a person, average person's waist. La halacha, if the mikveh is very shallow, even if it's shallower than this, as long as the person can be completely covered by the water, if he lays down, flatten the water, and it's completely covered, that is still considered a kosher mikveh. It's interesting, Tosfos points out, we all know that a woman who's a nida has to go to the mikveh. But Tosfos points out, if we look at the terminology of the Gemara says, mikan remez lanida. It's only a remez that a nida has to go to the mikveh. So Tosfos points out, there is no explicit pasuk in the Torah that says that a woman, after she finishes being a nida, has to go to the mikveh. He brings down 3 different sources from where we could learn that then, but all of them are just limudim. The one limud is because since the Torah says whatever she touches is tamei and has to be immersed, certainly she has to immerse. The other mekairis, but no explicit pasuk. Ask the Gemara. Shabbos ikaminal. On Shabbos, we're allowed to wear regular shoes. So the question is, as we learned in the previous shiur, the halacha is that in order to go for dvar mitzvah, to hear a shiur, or in order to go watch your peiris, you're allowed to pass through water on Yom Kippur. So certainly you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. There's no issue of rechitz on Shabbos. But the Gemara's question is, if you're wearing shoes, are you allowed to pass by? Are we concerned that your shoes may fall off and you'll end up carrying them? Shabbos dikaminal. Shabbos that you're wearing shoes, can you go through the water? Amr Nechamya Chasn Ben Asiya, Ano Chazitel Rav Ami Ravasi, Isa Rav Ami Ravasi, Mata Urkama Demaya, when they were going to a shear, they came to a area of water, Vavrua Derech Malbush, and they walked through wearing the shoes. That's the way Rashi learns. And we're going to learn the Gemara as Rashi learns. Rabbeinu Eliyakim has a different pshat in the Gemara. He says, Vavru derech malbush, is they carry the shoes on their hand. They carry the shoes like a glove. But that's not the pshat we're going to learn with. So they wore like a normal shoe, and we don't have to be concerned that the shoe will fall off. Ask the Gemara, Tenech Minel. On Shabbos, we can wear regular shoes, and therefore we don't have to be concerned that the shoes will fall off. However, sandal. On Yom Kippur, we don't wear regular shoes. Like we're learning, you're not allowed to wear shoes. So you only wear sandals, which fall off easier. Mayik lemeimer, what is the halacha? May one pass the water wearing those shoes? Or do we have to be concerned that the shoes will fall off? Amar v'chumei, anach hazita l'ravina, aiso ravina, the avar derech malbush. He wore the sandal on Yom Kippur and passed through the water. Ravashi, however, disagrees. Ravashi amar sandal chatchilaloi. On Yom Kippur, when one is wearing a sandal, l'chatchila he shouldn't walk through the water because we're concerned it'll fall off and he'll carry it. Says the Gemara, Rish Galusa ikalu hagruna, l'bei Rav Nosson. Rish Galusa came for Shabbos to a city called Avgruna, and he stayed in Rav Nosson's home. Rafram v'kula Rabbanan osu l'pirka. Rafram and all the Rabbanan came to hear the shir Rish Galusa gave. Ravina lo osu. Ravina didn't come to the shir. L'macha, Boy Rafram Lafuki Ravina Medata the Resh Galusa. Rafram knew that Resh Galusa was upset that Ravina did not come to Shir. So he wanted to work with Ravina. Give me a reason why you didn't come to the Shir, a good excuse, so the Resh Galusa shouldn't be upset. Amalek, my time alasam alapirka. Why didn't you come to the Shir? Amalek, have a call I carry. My feet were hurting. I couldn't walk. She says, you should have put on good shoes that give support and come. So he says, Gava the Karahava. He says, it was the top of my foot that putting on shoes wouldn't work because on the contrary, it would put pressure on where my foot was hurting. So he said, sandala. So you should have put on sandals that don't put that pressure on. Omalei, Urkama the Maya Hava Burcha. There was a area of water along the road, and therefore I had a problem. So he says, he said, there's no problem. You should have walked through it wearing the sandals. Amleis Ravina said, Leisav l'mal l'hodam Ravashi. Don't you know what Ravashi said? The sandal l'chatchila loy. That is, l'chatchila you shouldn't wear a sandal Shabbos or Yom Kippur. That's why I couldn't come to the shir. Ask the Taisus Yishonim, who was the man the Amr in the previous Gemara that says you are allowed to wear a sandal? Ravina. So how could Ravina be the one to say I couldn't wear a sandal because Ravashi said not to? He don't agree with Ravashi. You hold you're allowed to wear a sandal. So the Taisus Yishonim says there were two Ravinas. And the Ravina from the previous Gemara is not the same Ravina of this Gemara. Another teretz is that originally Ravina actually held that you're allowed to wear a sandal. But after he heard the Rav Ashi said, sandal chatchil aloi, he retracted and agreed with Rav Ashi. And a third teretz I saw is, Ravina held you're allowed to wear a sandal. And he, Taka, would wear a sandal. He was looking for an excuse that the Reish Galusa shouldn't be angry. So saying the Rav Ashi says you're not allowed to wear a sandal was the excuse he used, even though he personally doesn't agree with Rav Ashi. Says the Gemara, Tani, Yehuda ben Gregris teaches us, also leishav agabatina b'yom kippurim. One is not allowed to sit on mud on Yom Kippur, because the mud, which is moist, is like rechitza. Amar Yeshua ben Levi, ubetina matachas. It's only when the mud is moist. If it's not moist, if it's hard mud, it's no problem. Omra Abai, and teaches us Abayis, what is the shear of moisture? Obatei feach amnas latfiach. If it's so moist that it gives off moisture to something else, that's called moist. And the Prichadish says, when we say here in the Gemara that we're not allowed to sit on something moist on Yom Kippur, even if you're wearing clothing, so the moisture doesn't actually touch your body, it only touches your clothing, still the halacha is that it's awesome. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, mutar litztanim b'peiros. One could take, if one is hot on Yom Kippur, they didn't have air conditioning. So they used to take a cold fruit and put it under their head, and like that, cool off. Rav Yehuda, says the Gemara, litztanim b'kara. Rav Yehuda used to use a cucumber, cold cucumber to cool off. Rava, litztanim b'yanuka. So Machloikis was showing him what the definition of yanuka is. Most Rishonim is that he took a baby. A baby's skin is cool and soft and put it on his body. Another pshat yinuka is that it's a type of a vegetable. Yinuka means yoinik, nourishment. It's something that receives nourishment from the ground. Another pshat is yinuka is like some sort of a metal vessel. Metal, we know, is cold. That's why when we were kids, we got a bump, we used to put a piece of metal. That's what he used to do. Rava mitzdanen, the kasa, the kaspa. He used to use a silver cup. Amra Papa, so our Papa says, kasa de kaspa, a silver cup, malay, if it's full of liquid, asur. Chasur, if it's not full of liquid, shari, because if it's full of liquid, it's very likely that the liquid will spill out, and you'll have a real rechitza. The pachra, if it's an earthenware vessel, edvd asur. Under all circumstances, it's asur. Mishum, the mishkel shachal. If there's liquid in the vessel, earthenware is extremely porous, so the liquid travels through the walls of the vessel onto your body, and it's rechitza. No, we're not talking empty, but if there's any liquid in it, EDVD means if it's full or missing, not empty. Chos means missing, not empty. Rav Ashiyama, kasa de kaspa, even by a silver cup, and chaser, even if it's not full to the brim, nami asr. Why? Mishun the mizdarif. Because it, so the machlokes is how to explain mizdarif. Rashi says mizdarif, because it could slip out of your hand. Silver is a slippery material. And it'll slip out of your hand. If it slips out of your hand, the beverage, the liquid in it, will spill on your body and will have rechitza. That's how Rashi learns. The Rosh learns the mizdarif, not because the material is slippery. The concern is that the liquid inside the cup will just spill out on your body. Explains the Chachma Shleima. What's the nafkamina between Rashi and Rosh? If you'll have a cup that's not full, not made out of silver. According to Rashi, the concern is only by silver. Because silver is slippery. But another metal, which is not so slippery, will be permitted. According to the Rosh, that the concern is that the liquid may spill out, so it makes no difference what material the cup is made out of, it's awesome. If there's liquid in it. Says the Gemara, Ziri bar Chama, Ish Pesuchninen. Zeir Bachom was the innkeeper, the host of Rav Ami and Rav Asi and Rav Yishuv ben Levi, or the Kula Rabbanan the Kisri. Amalei Rav Yosef Bered Rav Yishuv ben Levi. Bar Arya, son of the wine. That means he had a very great father. Ta'em Lecha Milsa Ma'al Yisa. I'll tell you something special that Ava Ovid Avodah, that your father would do. Metachas Ha'ilab Erev Yom Kippur. He would have a towel on Erev Yom Kippur. V'shoyos B'mayim. Soak it in water. V'oysenosoy Me'kelim Neguvim. Then he would wring it out, the water. U'lamachar on Yom Kippur. Mekanach Be'ban of Yod V'Ragel. It still had some residual moisture. Not that much. And he used to put it on his face to cool off. Why did he have to wring it out before Yom Kippur? Because if there was moisture left in it, there's an issue of schita. On Yom Kippur, schita, squeezing, is a melacha. Continues the Gemara. Erev Tishbav. What about Erev Tishbav? Sharis of Imayim. He would also soak in water. Ulamachar, Mavir al Gaba Einav. And the next day he would put it on his face. Here he didn't have to squeeze it out before Tishbav, because there is no isser of schita on Tishbav. The Kenki also Rabbi by Mary Oma, Be'erev Tishbav, Mevin Le Matachas, Erev Tishbav, they bring a towel, V'sharos B'mayim, soak it in water, or Menicha Tachas Mereshesu, put it under your head, or Machar, on the next day, Mekanach by part of Yad of Raglev, you could use it to put on your face, hands, legs. That's not called Rechitza, because it's not Tefeich HaManas Latfiach. Be'erev Yom Kippurim, however Erev Yom Kippur, Mevin Le Matachas, V'sharos B'mayim, completely squeeze it out, because you shouldn't have a problem of schita. You told us the opposite. That Erev Tisha B'Av, we have to be more machmer than Erev Yom Kippur. And Erev Yom Kippur, we don't have to wring it out, squeeze it out. Erev Tisha B'Av, we do. Ask the Tosfos Yeshanim, how could one be more machmer on Tisha B'Av than on Yom Kippur? So Tosfos Yeshanim answers, we have a klal in Shas, we have a rule in Shas. Divrei Chachomim, Tzrichim Chizik, Yois Medivrei Torah. Something that's a Rabbanan, we have to be more careful than a Deraisa. Tisha B'Av is a Rabbanan. Yom Kippur is a Deraisa. That's why we have to be more careful with Yom Kippur, with Tisha B'Av than Yom Kippur. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw, which is a very fundamental perspective to the difference between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Yom Kippur is a yontif. There's a din of inui. We're spending a lot of dafim learning those halachas. But Yom Kippur is essentially a yontif. On the other hand, Tisha B'Av is a day of avelus. And that's why we have to be more machmer in the inuyim on Tisha B'Av versus Yom Kippur. Another pshat, and this will be relevant to the Gemara Amud Beis. On Tisha B'Av, one doesn't have to go to shul. On Yom Kippur, one has to daven a whole day in shul. So we have to make it more comfortable for a person on Yom Kippur than on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, stay home. On Yom Kippur, we can't tell you to stay home. You have to go to shul. Says the Gemara. Asked the Gemara of Asfinuch. He asked him, how could we allow you to use this on Erev Yom Kippur without squeezing out? There's going to be a problem of schita. And that's why he retracted and he said that Yom Kippur, we have to squeeze it out. He's only putting on a moist towel. It's not real washing, the Gemara is saying. Amram Nashba Tachlifa, Amram of Amram, Amram Rabba Babachana, Sholos Rabloza Azokim, Zelos Rabloza, they asked Rabloza. So like the Gemara is going to explain, we really are going to have two situations where Rabloza was asked the Shaila. The first situation that we're going to discuss now really has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. But since the Gemara is going to discuss two situations where Rabbi Elazar was asked the Shaila, so we bring down both, even though the first one has nothing to do with what we're learning. We know that Midaraisa, the firstborn male of an animal, is a Bechor. Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash Yekayim, when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, that animal had to be brought as a carbon, unless it was a Balmum. When there is no Beis HaMikdash, it still has to be given to a Kayin, but the Kayin can't use it until it becomes a Balmum. Now, paskening, the signing of the animal as a balmum, you need a rav, like you need for any psak. So they asked him the following shayla. Zokin v'yoshi v'yeshiva. You have a person who's a big Talmud Chacham. So he certainly has the ability, the knowledge, to paskin if this bechor is bal mum. Tzarch litl rishus lat bechoris. Does he have to get express certification from the nasi to be able to paskin these shilas? Or ain't tzarch? Or is it not required? Asked the Ramai coming by the way. What was this question? Says the Gemara Hachi coming by the way. This was the question. Ki hadam rav idi bar oven. They left something to show covet, to show honor to the Beinasi, that nobody could paskin the Shaila without their authorization, and therefore Tzarech Litul Rishus. As great as the person is, he has to get express permission from the Nasi. Since the person is a Talmud Chacham, ain't Tzarech. There's no requirement. I met Rav Yosef ben Zimra. Shezokin v'yoshev yeshiva hayu. He was a big Talmud Chacham. V'omer b'malas zikne shalzeh. He was standing in this area. V'notl rishos lat b'chayrus. Even though he was such a great Talmud Chacham, he asked for smicha to get rishos to paskin the shayla if a b'char is a balmum or not. Omalei Rav Abbas. Rav Abbas says, lo tachay maisa. That wasn't the what happened. Al kacha yemaisa. This is the story. Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra koyin hayu. Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra was a koyin. Vach coming by the way. And the question he asked was like this. Certainly, a koyin cannot paskin on a bechor that he receives if it's a bal mum. Because he's in a geber dover. He has a vested interest. The question that was asked was, halach kremei, was the halacha, is the halacha like remeya? Since he can't paskin for himself, he's disqualified from paskining these shilas under all circumstances. Perhaps halach kreb Shimon Gamliel dama nemenal shel chaveroi v'nein and nemenal shel atzmai. Even though for himself he's not to be relied on, he is relied for the next person. Or partially, and he answered, halach kreb Shimon Gamliel, the halach is like kreb Shimon Gamliel, that even though he's not trusted for himself, he is trusted for the next person. Now we come to the dialogue they had, which is relevant to Hilchos Yom Kippur. The Sukkah Mabayla, there was another question asked. Ma lotzes besandal shel sham. We know that Yom Kippur, we've been discussing, you're not allowed to wear shoes out of leather. The question is, shayla l'aloch l'maisa, are you allowed to wear shoes made out of sham? Sham is like made out of reeds. We would call it rubber. Are you allowed to wear shoes that are made out of rubber beyom kippur? Omer Rav Yitzchak ben Nachmeni Araglov, he got up, stand on his foot, and he said, "Ani re'isti Rav Yishua ben Levi shiotze besandal shel sham beyom kippurim." He wore rubber shoes on Yom Kippur. V'aminala. So then I asked, "But tainus sibur mai? What's the loch on a tainus sibur?" So as the Gemara says in Masech Tainus, if Chas V'Shalom there's a drought, so a series of fasts are decreed. The first series of three fasts, a regular fast. If Chas V'Shalom there's still no rain, then the next series of fasts are declared, and they're much more stringent level of fast. And the halach is that during those fasts, one is not allowed to wear shoes. The question is, could they wear shoes made out of rubber, made out of non-leather materials? And like we explained in Amud Aleph, how can we say a tainus sibur is more stringent than Yom Kippur? And the answer is, either because the rechacham tzrichim chizik, or because you don't have to leave the house necessarily in a tainus sibur. There is no difference. On a tainus sibur too, one may wear shoes as long as they're not leather. Amar Rabbi B'Bachana, Ani Re'isis Rabbi Lezer de Ninve, I saw Rabbi Lezer from Ninve, Shiyotze B'Sandal Shel Sham, B'Tainus Sibur. He wore these non-leather shoes in tainus sibur. V'Aminalan, I asked him, Yom Kippur Amai, what's going to be the halacha on Yom Kippur? Amalei Loishna, it's permitted. Rabbi Yehuda, Nafik B'Dehitni. He wore shoes made out of hitni. It's a non-leather material. Abai nafik b'dehutzi, rava nafik b'divli. These the kuli. These are all types of palm or branches. Shoes made out of leather. Rava bachana karech sudra kare. He would wrap rags, soft rags, around his feet. for Nafik, and that's the way he would leave the home on Yom Kippur. Because it's a shoe. It's a shoe.
So what's your option? Just
to go barefoot. Because a shoe, what does Nilas HaSandal mean? The Lomdus of the Gemara is, what does Nilas HaSandal mean? Does Nilas HaSandal mean any shoe? So it makes no difference what material. Or does Nilas HaSandal mean a leather shoe? Any other shoe is not considered leather. We'll talk Halach Lamaisa soon. Mos of Rami Bachama. So Rami Bachama adds from the following Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. The Mishnah Masechta Shabbos speaks about a kiteya. A kiteya is an amputee. Says the Mishnah, Yoitz B'Kav Shaloi, an amputee may walk out on Shabbos wearing his prosthetic, Divrei Remeyu. Rabbi Yossi says it's not mutar. V'tani Olo, and we learned in explaining that Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, V'shavin, everybody agrees, Sh'av Salatis by B'Yom Kippurim. On Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to wear that prosthetic. So you see that even though it's made out of wood, it's still considered a minnow. Why are you not allowed to wear on Yom Kippur? Because it's considered a shoe. Now, what is it made out of? Wood. So you see that a wood shoe is considered a shoe that may not be worn on Yom Kippur. Amar Rabbaya, there's no proof. Because that prosthetic, Hasam de Isbay Ketitim, it had rags that made it comfortable. Yeah, comfortable. That made it comfortable to be worn, and that's why Mishum Tanik, since it's comfortable, that's why it may not be worn in Yom Kippur. But not to say, says Abaya, that a shoe made out of wood is considered a shoe. Ask the Gemara a number of questions. Amalei Rava, Vilav, Manahu, Ketitin Mashalei Mana. What are we saying? That really it's not a shoe. What makes it a shoe? Because it has those rags. Asks Rava, if it's a shoe, it's a shoe. And if it's not a shoe, it's not a shoe. The rags don't make it a shoe. That's one question. Furthermore, what did we explain? We said that it's really not a shoe. The reason it was also because it's a tainik. It's considered enjoyment. Ask the Gemara, for kol tainik delav minalu b'yom kippur mi osur. If something is a tainik, it's not osur on Yom Kippur. And this is a very important concept. The only things that are osur on Yom Kippur of what the Mishnah and the Chazal tell us are Asr. What's not Asr is not Asr. So if this is not considered a shoe, yes, it's comfortable. Doesn't make a difference. It's Asr. It's Mutter if it's not a shoe. Next question. Next question. For Rabbi Bar Huna, and what's the proof that something, even though it's comfortable, is permitted? The Gemara we just learned. Rabbi Bar Huna, have a Karach Sudra Kari, he used to put these rags around his feet. It was comfortable enough. Because as long as it's not a shoe, it's permitted. Furthermore, how are we explaining the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos? That it's talking about that it has a place for the rags to be, that this prosthetic has a place for the rags to be kept. Ask the Gemara, Midiktoni Seifim Yesh Loik Beis Kibul Ksisim. The Seif of that Mishnah says that if this is a type of a calf that has a place where you could put in the Shmatis, then the Aloch is Tomei. It's Mekabel Tumah. Because as we've learned many times, Pshute Kleitz, a plain piece of wood, is not Mekabel Tumah. But if the Kleitz has a base kibble, it has a receptacle in which something could be inserted, then it is Mekabel Tumah. Says the Sefer that if this Kiteya, if this amputee's prosthetic has a place where you could put Shmatis, then it's considered a base kibble and it's Mekabel Tumah. So what does that mean? That the Reisha is not talking that it has a base kibble. So how do we explain that the Reisha is speaking that it has a base kibble for the Shmata? Midah Tani Seifim Yesh Le Base Kibble Ketitin Tomei, that if it has a place to put the Shmata, it's Mekabel Tumah. Mechlal the Reisha Labdis Le Ketitin Askinen, that it doesn't have the base kibble. Says the Gemara, El Amarava L'Olam De Kulam Aminahu. Everybody will agree that a wooden shoe is a shoe. Over Shabbos Bahopli, the Machloikas in Shabbos is a different Machloikas. Masover, the man, the Omer, who says you may not wear it on Shabbos, is concerned Dilma Mishtamet. It may become disconnected from the foot, and the person will just come to carry it. Vosel Suya Dalar Amis, Masover Le Gazrina. So as we finish the Suya, the way we explain the Gemara, which is the way Rashi taught the Gemara, a leather shoe and a wood shoe are considered shoes. Because the Gemara is saying that from Masechta Shabbos we see that the amputee's wood prosthetic is a shoe. It's made out of wood. The Baal Hamor, different approach to the Gemara, he says that once we determined that a wood shoe is a shoe, that means all type of shoes are shoes, made out of any material. The Gemara spoke about wood, but once we've expanded it past leather, we're not going to say it's leather and wood, we're going to say it's every type of material. The Rambam and the Rif say that we don't paskin like this Gemara. They say that only leather shoes are considered shoes. What's the proof? The Lech Mishnah says that the proof is because we know by chalitza a shoe has to be used, and the Gemara Masechta Yevamah says that only a leather shoe is kosher for chalitza. Any other shoe is not. And that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The Shulchan Aruch says that one is allowed to wear on Yom Kippur any shoe as long as it's not made out of leather. Interestingly, the Mishnah Berurah in the Bi'ah Halacha says that maybe somebody should be machmer. Because if we have Rashi and the Baal Hamor, certainly the Baal Hamor, and even Rashi that say that's not limited to leather, so one should be machmer if he can and not wear shoes. That's how the Mishnah Berurah says. The Masham, and we know this is the minig of Klal Yisrael, say we follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch, as long as it's not a leather shoe, we wear it on Yom Kippur. The Shaila I saw that the Micha Shloimer of Shlomo Zalman Orbach discusses in his Tshuvas is nowadays they have shoes that are not made out of leather, but they look like they're leather. So is there an issue of Maris Ayin on Yom Kippur? So he really says it depends on something we've discussed a number of times. Is the Isser of wearing shoes on Yom Kippur an Isser Daraisa or Isser Darabonin? If it's an Isser Daraisa, so it's very likely that there should be a gzera of Maris Ayin. If it's Isser Drabonin, it's less likely that we should make a gzera of Maris Ayin. Tan Rabbanan, says the Gemara, Tanoikis Matarim Bekulan, all the things that adults may not do on Yom Kippur, children may do, Chutz Min Nilas HaSandal, not allowed to wear shoes. Ask the Gemara, Maishno Nilas HaSandal, why are they not allowed to wear shoes? Dami Inchi Avdilei, because we say that who put on the shoes for the children? Their parents. And there's an pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says, loy sachilum, that something that's prohibited, an adult may not do for the child. So if the child is wearing shoes, who put on the child's shoes? His parents. And you're not allowed to wear shoes on Yom Kippur. So says the Gemara, if that's the case, hanach nami, all the other things, Amri Inchi Avdalei, people will say that they see a child walks out of the house with his face washed, clean, it must have been that his parents washed him. Says the Gemara, Ruchitz V'sicha Amri Me'esma Avdi. If they see him washed, they don't know that he was washed today. They'll say he was washed Erev Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, if that's what you're going to say, Sandal Neymer, Nami Me'me Emer, Me'esma Avdalei. If they see the child walking out wearing a shoe, they'll say the parent put on the shoe from before Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, that's impossible. Sandalay Efshir, it's impossible. The Me'esme Avdalei, that it was done from yesterday. Because the Amish Shmuel teaches us, Hayman de Moil Mitam Tamba de Mesusai. If somebody wants to get a little taste of death, Lesai Masani, he should wear shoes Veligni. And sleep in his shoes. Here we see that you're not allowed to sleep in your shoes. Truma Sadashin asks that the Gemara says, and Shulchan Aruch says, that Tamid HaChacham shoe knots are considered a Kesher Shel Kayama. They're considered a permanent knot because they never take off their shoes. The question is, they have to sleep. And he was saying you're not allowed to sleep with your shoes. So how could they sleep with the shoes? So he says two truths. One truth is that when the Gemara says you're not allowed to sleep in shoes, is to take to go to sleep. A small nap, if you fall asleep wearing your shoes, is permitted. Another truth, he says, is that the Koyach HaTorah protects the person who wears his shoes when he's sleeping. And in fact, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld in Shal's Tshuva Silmas Chaim says a very nice part. The Gemara says, Odom Kiyomus Ba'oil. So what does Rashi say? That a person has to be maimus himself, a person has to be ready to put himself lemisa for Torah. What does it mean? Because the Talmud Chacham falls asleep with his shoes on. Falling asleep with your shoes on is like misa. So that's why Talmud Chacham, who's learning Torah with his shoes on, is experiencing Misa. But then he says another interesting thing in that tshuva. He says, if Chas V'Sholem, I'm not saying this, I'm just saying what he says. Chas v'sham, a person is very ill, and they're concerned that there's a gzeira that the person, the gzeira mishmaya, that the person should die. He should sleep with his shoes on. So like that, he's mekayim the gzeira that he should have died, and like that, the Eved will help. He'll have a refuah.
It's interesting. People are punished that the parent put on the shoes on your kippah, but not that he.
Ask the Gemara. Ask the Gemara. You're allowed to do it. Fine. The person seeing the child walking out with the face washed will say that he was done yesterday. The person seeing that he walks out with the shoes will not say it was done yesterday. But the bottom line is we know the truth. And the truth is the parent did it on Yom Kippur. So if there's a problem of lois achilim, how are you allowed to do it on Yom Kippur? Says the Gemara, Ela hanach the lav revisayu gozbo rabbonon. Wearing shoes is not that important. So Chazal say, on Yom Kippur children shouldn't wear shoes. Hanach the revisayu, a child needs food, and therefore, like gozbo rabbonon. So the Gemara, there's a very interesting word from Shlomo Zalman la'alocha. The Gemara is saying, shoes, a child, especially nowadays, we can certainly relate to this. Children don't wear shoes even during the week. Never wear shoes. They wear sneakers all the time. So certainly, they don't have to wear shoes on Yom Kippur. But they need to eat. And that's why on Yom Kippur, we could give them to eat. And that's, they need to get washed. And that's why on Yom Kippur, we could wash them. It says of Shlomo Zalman, that's not necessary that every child gets a bath every day. The Gemara is saying that why are you allowed to do Yom Kippur? Because this is what you're allowed to do. Because the child needs it. But if you don't give your child a bath every day, there's no heter, he says, to give your child a bath on Yom Kippur. So that should be one of the days you skip from giving a bath. The Rishonim also discuss, if you're giving a child a bath, according to Gemara, you're allowed to give a child a bath on Yom Kippur. When you give the child a bath, your hands are getting wet. You have to get your hands wet to give a bath. So the Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that actually a parent should not give the bath. The bath should be given by a goy. Others say the bath should be done where you don't touch water. It should be done where you pour the water on the child, but don't touch the water directly with your hands. And others say that that's part of the heter. That what you're allowed to do for a child, even though rechitz is aser, but for the child's well-being, you're allowed to give a bath. Similarly, I saw a very interesting shaila from the Tzitz Eliezer. We're saying that anything that's required for the well-being of the child is mutar Yom Kippur. So let's say you have a mother who's nursing. The mother is nursing. And Yom Kippur, if she's fasting, she doesn't have any milk, her own milk to feed. So she has to give the child formula or whatever to drink because she doesn't have milk. Is there a halacha? And the child is accustomed, then it's better for the child to drink regular, to drink mother's milk. Perhaps, again, I'm not passing la'loch la'mais, I'm just raising the issue. But Tzitz Eliezer says, perhaps that mother doesn't have to fast. Because the Gemara is saying that whatever is for the well-being of the child is permitted. That's part of, she's not eating for herself, she's eating for the child. And it may be permitted. Damre Abaye, because Abaye says, Amali Aim, my mother taught me, Revisa di Nuka. What mother doesn't mean his mother, was his stepmother. His mother died in childbirth. This was the nurse that raised him. Revis di nuku, what does a young child need? Maya chamima, hot water, umishcha, and to be anointed with oil. Gogel Perkter, he gets a little older. Beis bekutcha, we need to give him egg in like a milch gedish. Gogel Perkter, when he gets even bigger, tvur imani, we have to let him break utensils, because children have a lot of energy. They have to have an outlet for the energy. So they give them vessels to break. Kiha de Rava, Zavon Lamani Gazizi, used to buy broken vessels. They were broken anyway. The Pachra earthenware, Lebnei Mezabrele. In other words, there's a problem. If he breaks a good dish, it's Batashchis. So he would buy specially broken dishes. So there's no concern, they're not usable. But the child needs something to break, so let him break the broken dish. There's no problem about tashas. So the Gemara is saying here that whatever is for the well-being of the child is permitted. So there's a few shailas, the Menachas Chinuch raises them, that we need to understand. Menachas Chinuch asks one shaila, is this heter that
you're allowed to give a child to eat only for a parent, because the parent has an obligation for the well-being of his child, or is this even for a non-parent? Let's say, am I allowed to give somebody else's child food to eat? Another shaila that the Meches Chinuch discusses, what's the halacha of a child that has to eat, but he doesn't have to eat 8 in the morning, he could eat 10 in the morning? The Gemara is saying that children are allowed to eat. What's going to be our luck on such a child? Then there's another shaila. As we will learn in Mitzvah Shem, the halach is, and everybody knows this thing, that let's say somebody never has to eat on Yom Kippur. So, what do we try to do if it's doable? Again, if it's not a shaila of bikuach nefashis, what do? We give him pachas pachas mikashir. You give him less than a shear at a time, and then he waits, again, if it's doable, and then he eats a little more, and so on. Is that the same din by a child? The Gemara says it by a chayla. The Gemara doesn't say what the din by a child is. So now the question is, what is the din? And really, it all hinges on one shayla. We quoted, Rashi mentions it here in the Gemara, that there's an issa of lois achilim. We're not allowed to give a child something which is prohibited. That's why, unless again, if it's not a shayla of sakonis nefashis, you're not allowed to give a child a non-kosher food. He's a child. He's not bar mitzvah. Not bas mitzvah. You're not allowed to give him because you're not allowed to give actively to a child something which is prohibited. The question is, how do we look at food on Yom Kippur? Do we look at food on Yom Kippur like something which is non-kosher? And if it's non-kosher, you're not allowed to give it to the child. That's one approach. And therefore, the parent has a special dispensation, because the parent has to raise his child. I, who am not the parent, so I don't have any responsibility, I'm not allowed to give him a piece of non-kosher food, I'm not allowed to give him a piece of any food on Yom Kippur. Similarly, the halacha would be that we should try to avoid the child from eating on Yom Kippur. But most Rishonim explain that the concept on Yom Kippur is a totally different concept. The relationship between children and food. On Yom Kippur, a child has no issur food. Food on Yom Kippur is not treif. It doesn't become treif. We, adults, are not allowed to eat food. That din doesn't apply to children. The Torah didn't say children aren't allowed to eat. The Torah, on the contrary, as we just learned, says, Hain ruvusai, that's the way they're raised. They're allowed to eat. So you're not giving him anything which is non-acceptable. So therefore, even not his parent could give him to eat. And therefore, you don't have to try to come up with all of these types of solutions like we do with a chayla, because for him there's no isser and there's nothing wrong with food on Yom Kippur. One more point I want to make. The Gemara said before, we discussed what shoes are allowed to be worn on Shabbos, on Yom Kippur, and what shoes are not allowed to be worn on Yom Kippur. The Shagas Aryeh says that on Shabbos there are also certain clothing that you're allowed to wear and certain clothing that you're not allowed to wear. Certain clothing considered masui. What's the classical example? The classical example is if you wear tzitzis that aren't the right shear. Then that's called carrying. Because if it's a right beged, then it's not carrying. But if it's the wrong, if it's not a beged, so it's called carrying. Says the Meches Chinuch, based on the Shagas Aryeh, a very interesting point. He says, we've been discussing that wearing shoes is, according to most Rishonim, an issur rabbanim. It's only Issur Rabbanan wearing shoes on Yom Kippur. He says, but let's say somebody will walk out on Yom Kippur wearing shoes, leather shoes, so he won't get kares for wearing the leather shoes, because that's only Issur Rabbanan. But he'll get kares for carrying on Shabbos. Because what do we say? That wearing a beged on Shabbos that you're not allowed to wear is called carrying. If you're not allowed to wear leather shoes in Yom Kippur, it's called carrying, so the person, he'll be over a bigger avera, not the avera of wearing shoes, he'll be over the avera of being mechalel Yom Kippur by carrying where you're not allowed to carry. Right, that's the shaila. It boils down to the gavra chefza. I gave you schayr fish on the shuvah drasha now.